So today I am going to be speaking about reflecting God's grace. But to start, I'll start with a little bit about me. So if you didn't know, I'm a musician. I spent most of my young adult lives studying music at Wits. Life studying music at Wits. I finished with an honors degree in music composition, which was awful. It took me 7 years to do a four-year degree because I'm so clever and they love me so much. It was lots of fun. I love music. And one of the things I've always loved is going to great concerts. So I have seen, you name it. I've seen Coldplay, I've seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I've seen Rodriguez. I saw Santana play with Johnny Clegg for an hour. That was amazing. I've even seen Deep Purple and Uriah Heep, and I watched Guns N' Roses bomb in front of 40,000 people. That was hilarious and made me feel good as a musician. And I've been to some intimate candlelit dinners, like with one with Sean Phillips. That was very special. And I've seen Bombay Bicycle Club and Ben Howard outdoors, and I've just been so fortunate to see all these amazing acts live. And I have very fond memories from every occasion. But however beautiful or loud or bouncy any of those occasions have been, I would choose to rather sing on a Sunday to my Lord with Dylan, Jackie, Bev, and Francis. Why, you may ask, could I abandon Cat Stevens and Mumford & Sons for a Sunday worship? Well, that is a question that happened upon me at my New Year's Eve get-together this year. Lee and I were hanging about with some of my musician friends, questionable people, the kind that you would not let hang around with your kids. And I was kindly invited to go see Muse with them, which is a bucket list band for me. I've always wanted to go see them. So immediately I said yes. Unfortunately, at the beginning of the year, they canceled. And to my surprise, I was quite relieved. Initially, I thought it was because I was saving a grand. And then I thought a bit deeper. It couldn't just be that. And it brought me back to my earlier conclusion about preferring worship here on a Sunday to going to a big concert. Now, I find it very much at a concert that it is a worship event. Bear with me. It has to do with the action of the directionality of that worship. Very similarly to people on a Sunday morning, people sing the words ecstatically, raise their hands, dance around, but their words aren't aimed at heaven. They are aimed at the atmosphere, the performance, and the artist. And when the buzz is over, and your head stops thumping, for whatever reason it's thumping, all you're left with are the memories and the hunger to experience that again. Sounds a lot like worship to me. I'm not saying that we should all go home and burn our favorite records or stop going to concerts. Rather, I want to illustrate something that is ingrained in every man, woman, and child. We are born worshipers. We love to worship. Concerts are just an example of how we do it in a secular way. We also do it at sports events, at restaurants, at an art gallery. Wherever we go to see beauty or enjoy something, we praise those things, whether it's through touch, taste, or sound. It's the direction of our worship as the church that sets us apart. We worship Jesus our Lord, who came to live among us, feel, see, and taste what we do, then suffer, die, and rise above it all. We've been lingering on the last words of Jesus in the Great Commission in Luke 24 for some weeks as a church. Today I want to illustrate how this seemingly impossible task that Jesus presents to all of us believers can be accomplished starting with one simple step, worship. Then Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We are tasked to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations and be witnesses of his life. That is a massive task. It's one thing saying you can just witness to your mom or witness to your brother, but to say everyone. How could you even start in the positions that we are in? Not like all of us read the news every day. So, the answer to this is simple. We seek the kingdom first. When I preached to the youth a couple weeks ago on the same thing, I used a simple analogy. Being a worshiper is like being a mirror. I said we are all worshipers. What we give our time to most is generally what we worship. And whatever we worship is most often what we reflect outwardly to the world. You see, it is not what we actively do or say that reflects God's glory or whatever else we worship, but rather what we unconsciously reflect in our day-to-day that preaches the good news to everyone around us. Lee gave me a great example of this from Wendy. On one of her mission trips, she said she met a man that gave his life to the Lord because he saw how a family loved their dog and then thought, "How much more does God love me?" And that is exactly how we need to preach this good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins, of love of God through Christ's sacrifice over death, by reflecting his love and his grace for all the world to see. But a mirror only reflects the light that shines upon it. And this is where worship comes in. We need to be elbows deep in the light of God, basking in his presence, listening to his voice, studying his living word. Worship is a response to the presence of God, not simply singing or writing a poem. It is a reflection of what God is lighting up from his home within our hearts. And we are sharing that light with the world, but only if we are in it. I want to be naughty and make a controversial statement about the church. I don't necessarily believe that this basking in the light happens at home. I do think it does, but I don't think that that's the touch point. I believe it is here when we gather together, when we worship together, when God slowly drips his hot water on our icy hearts and seeps his way into our souls. There is something special about singing in a room with other people rather than singing alone in our cars. There's something beautiful about reading scripture and hearing it out loud with your family versus reading it alone in your bed in the morning. I do believe that that's part of our Christian journey, but for the first 1,000 years, I don't know how long, but the first long while of the church, there weren't Bibles to take home. People came on a Sunday to worship. People found this as their touch point. But we in the modern day have separated that. We've said, I can worship at home. I can worship in the car. I can worship here and there. But we don't come with this touch point where we can come together and experience God's love and favor as a community, which I believe is one of the most powerful things. It's what's transformed my life more than anything else. Of course, the complete opposite can be true. We can reflect bad things. There is a famous saying that was pounded into us at school in all the bullying workshops. Hurt people hurt people. The illustration is that when people experience pain or violence or trauma, they tend to reflect those traumas to the world. However, love overcomes all of this. And I would like to add to this old saying, hurt people hurt people, but loved people love people. And I'm not talking about, I like to call this to the youth, the Hollywood hot pink love, the lovely infatuation and sunshine and rainbows. And I'm talking about I've got your back love. The kind of love that God has for you. The kind of love that you feel when you're in his presence. The kind of love that we know that we possess as his children. The love of a mother and their baby. That love transcends all hurt. And when we come to Christ, he doesn't see all the hurt. He doesn't see the shame. He doesn't see the sin. He sees that forgiveness. He sees that love within us. When we come on a Sunday and sing songs, we do so because we are loved. But it can't stop there. When we go to work, or walk down the street, or buying groceries at the Pick and Pay, we have the opportunity to worship as well, by reflecting the love shown to us first by Christ. To all around us, whether it's with a kind smile or the way we talk, or lending an ear to a sad voice. Each time we act as a response to the love that we have been shown, all can see for themselves the love of God. Living our lives to reflect God's love out to the world is how we preach the message. It's how we tell the world the good news, that they are forgiven, that they are redeemed. Paul puts it simply in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I feel like sacrifice is such a loaded term in 2026. I always think of sacrifice meaning like I'm not going to eat the last slice of chocolate cake. In those days, it meant we're going to kill the pigeon and then pray to God. In this case, it means that we give up worshiping everything else and live our lives to reflect God's love. We sacrifice that bit of ourselves that hungers for what the world has and take in the love of Christ and share that with everybody we meet. It's not about singing a pretty song or dancing, or I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, sometimes it's not even about telling others. But as a response to God's love and mercy, we worship Him with all of ourself by presenting holy love, grace, and peace. This is worship. Every day, all the time, in totality. This is how we let the world know that God loves them. This is how we do it. We live our lives reflecting the grace that He has shown each and every one of us. So today I was reminded, as I was driving in, that we are going to take communion. And I just want to put a thought in your heads before we take the cup. And Craig, could you start passing out those cups for me? What are you reflecting out into the world? What are you presenting to everyone around you? When you're at school or varsity or at work, when you're angry, when you're happy, when you feel good, when you feel bad, what are you presenting as? That's the first thing. The second thing is, what are you looking at? What is your focus on? Is it the love of God? Is it worshiping Him in totality? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else in this world? Love. It's not the kind of question that is easy to answer or comfortable to answer all the time. But it is a question that we should be asking ourselves. The beauty of it is that even if the answer is the wrong answer, God is there for us. He loves us anyway. And we can choose to take that love on and change that answer at any given moment. So Lord, as we take the bread and later the cup, we present this, your church, to you as a living sacrifice. We pray that the light that you shine on us is reflected out and shares the good news to this world. We pray that you give us the boldness and the courage. We pray that you give us the love that surpasses all fear to surround our minds as we do so.